The city of Portland voted unanimously to suspend development fees to spur home building. And you can call in. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. What do you think of that? Do you think suspending fees that fund construction of sidewalks and other neighborhood services, roads and parks, is that a worthwhile sacrifice to make to get more housing and to spur builders to build more? And so it's a... So this incentive removes a roadblock for some to build in Portland, but costs the city millions of dollars. And so this would apply to all housing developers, including those charging market rate. So there's no set aside this is not an initiative solely to reward building affordable housing in the city. And Portland City Council President Alana Pirtle-Guiney, I'm sorry, I'm not sure if I pronounced that correctly, as well as Eric Zimmerman, the council's finance committee chair, and Jamie Dunphy, vice chair of the housing committee, were on hand to support the initiative. And so they were joined by Sarah Zahn, board chair of Oregon Smart Growth, and local developers Tom Kilbane, managing director of Urban Renaissance Group, and Andrew Colas, the CEO of Colas Construction. And Cola says, as we create more housing supply, we're going to create more housing affordability. This leadership signals that the city is open for business. Okay, open for business. Portland is open for business, I guess. And somehow they're just by giving every builder a break on having to pay for infrastructure that their buildings require, that somehow we're all going to benefit from it. So once again, that does sound a bit like trickle down economics. Yes, we have another caller. Hi, Arthur, you are on Wednesday Talk Radio.
Good morning. First of all, this is my opinion. So-called affordable housing is a total scam that's just designed to profit very large construction companies. That's its only point. Because the word, in the very word, development is a red herring. Because development always involves deforestation of some kind. Mm-hmm. Always. Now, I saw very near from me in a regular neighborhood, there was a man living in an old school bus, and he was sitting on a small plot just big enough for a garden, a small garden, and he had solar panels on top of this bus, which is 10, 20 times larger than a tent. Mm-hmm. And it was in the middle of a regular neighborhood with houses all around, an older neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And that can be easily implemented at very low cost. And let me give you my background before I hang up and let you comment.
Okay.
I lived in a tent for a year. Mm-hmm. And the only help I got was from charities and churches. Mm-hmm. And... the only thing that got me out of that tent is because a buddy of mine is letting me sleep on the floor in his apartment.
Oh, wow.
And he lucked out to get that apartment cheap.
Uh-huh.
So I let you... so, again, development is a non... It's a non-word. It's just designed to profit somebody, but it never, ever trickles down to the people. Uh-huh. I'm going to hang up and let you comment. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in, Arthur. It's really great to hear your perspective. And yeah, that's a really great take on that from someone who needs this, you know, Arthur, who is presently, I guess, couch surfing and has lived in a tent in Portland, and that he doesn't feel that these development programs actually help people who need them and or reach them. And so once again, is this just another sort of pseudo trickle down economic sort of initiative, providing these fees to support infrastructure? Once again, going back to this proposal, this was of course because Eco Northwest had released an analysis in late 2024 that builders were generating the fewest new apartments in Portland since 2011. And these include market rate apartments as well. And so this proposal would, in essence, broaden an exemption that exists under a program that allows developers to not pay development charges when they build rentals affordable to residents making 60% of the area median income. So there is a program that does help sort of provide financial incentives to people building more affordable housing. And this program, administered by the Portland Housing Bureau, also applies to for-sale homes that meet certain income restrictions, and this year can cost no more than $455,000. Okay, and so that's it just shows how high housing costs are in the area. And, in fact, let's take a look a bit. And once again, this is Wednesday Talk Radio, and we are discussing housing affordability in the Portland area, and particularly looking at the Portland City Council's vote last week, a unanimous vote, 10-1, to approve an ordinance temporarily exempting new residential projects from system development charges. So this would be going from August of this year to September 30th of 2028. And so this is what they're looking at right now. The there is, of course, pushback against this and questioning, certainly where would the money, how would they make up the money? Where would the money come from? And what would that do to the quality of life in Portland to have all these builders not contributing to the building of sidewalks and roads and other things that the occupants of the housing they're building would actually require? And so here you have Bike Portland in yesterday published a opinion piece, housing construction fee waiver comes at a cost for transportation infrastructure. And so they are looking at, they note that last week Portland City Council voted unanimously to give developers a 3-year reprieve from paying system development charges on residential projects. SDCs are fees paid to city bureaus to help pay for infrastructure that supports new developments. And they note that while councilors agreed the fee waiver would help boost badly needed construction of more residential units, Portland produced just 818 market rate units in 2024, the lowest total in 10 years. It's worth noting that the move represents yet another loss of funding for the Portland Bureau of Transportation. Of course, you know that the state legislature ended the session having not passed a transportation bill. So funding is pretty crucial right now for that agency. The 3-year SDC moratorium is estimated to cost the city of Portland about $63 million total. And note that $63 million is based on the already projected just under, 3,000 units that are supposed to be done. This program is supposed to increase that number by at least 5,000. So it could be more loss of income than that. According to a presentation from the Office of Community and Economic Development shared with City Council, this move will cost PBOT, that's the Portland Bureau of Transportation, $10 million. And so this comes on top of a narrowly averted budget crisis, continued uncertainty with federal funding that has put $197 million in project grants in limbo. Okay, an $11 million gap from the state due to the failure of HB 2025. So I believe that is the bill that did not pass in the last legislature. While 10 councilors, 2 were absent, voted to support the fee waiver ordinance with hopes it would boost production of 2,500 additional housing units, some expressed reservations. And of course, Candace Avalos, the councilor, was also quoted again, "I worry about how much infrastructure funding where we can afford to lose." So Council President Alana Pirtle-Ginney said, "I don't take lightly the fact that we're foregoing tens of millions of dollars of revenue for public infrastructure at a time when we have so many infrastructure needs. But I also know that right now, with the tools in our toolbox, this is the single most impactful thing that we can do this year to support housing development." So the loudest and most eloquent supporter of the SDC waiver is District 4 Councilor Mitch Green. He told members of the PBOT's Pedestrian Advisory Council last week that he simply doesn't like SDCs. Because, so he's quoted saying, "Because, however well-intentioned they are, They only work when there's development occurring, and they are a marginal cost of development. Greenfields, it's already relatively expensive to develop land in Portland due to our labor and land use laws, so anything that increases the cost of production just leads to less housing being built. And if you get less of it, you don't get as much of a resource for your infrastructure development, which means that latest development or the last part of the city to come into the boundaries of the city just doesn't get it. And then you have to compete for a small pool of money relative to the scale of the problem. So he sees Green, who supports the SDC waiver, sees infrastructure as a, quote, collective problem and a, quote, public good that spans the whole city, while SDCs only accrue to parts of the city lucky enough to see development. Okay. I would think that this is sort of a strange take, because these areas of the city that are just developing need a lot of basic infrastructure to get started. And then that, where would that money come from? That would come from infrastructure money that would go to other parts of the city. So from the total. So I don't see these two as separate pools of money at all. And you reduce one and then you have to take more from the other. Green goes on to say the unintended consequence of it is that you have a situation where neighborhoods have been brought into the city and just haven't seen any infrastructure development or on any meaningful timescale. And then, so he goes on. But what do you think? What do you think of Green's take? Do you think that waiving these fees is somehow going to make infrastructure funding more equitable in the city? That's an unusual take. And we have about a few minutes left. You can call in. This is Wednesday Talk Radio, and we are once again discussing affordable housing in Portland. And if the city council's vote last week to waive system development charges, which are, you know, fund infrastructure in the community, if that was a wise move, and who will that benefit really? So you can call into the studio. The number is 503-231-8187. And obviously Bike Portland, with their headline housing construction fee waiver comes at the cost for transportation infrastructure, is focusing on that aspect of this thing. So another thing that I had mentioned earlier in the description for the show is the Portland residential infill policy. We don't have a lot of time to go over that now, but maybe in a future episode we could take a look at that and how it's working or not working. It apparently has actually created more housing in the community. Another aspect of this is the federal cuts that Portland is facing, which is particularly for low-income AIDS housing programs in Portland. Oh, hi, we have another caller. Hi, Rick, this is Wednesday Talk Radio.
Hi, I hate to be that guy, but okay. I actually feel like waiving the SDCs is not a terrible idea, and I think it could be a good thing. I was looking on the city website, and it averages $15,000 to $44,000 per unit just in these SDCs. Mm-hmm. And it's not like developers are paying that. That's all getting passed on to either the renter or the person purchasing the property. And then those costs also are used, you know, towards the sale price. So it jacks up the sale price, which raises the property taxes. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
So yeah, no, that's thing, a good point. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, the city,
but
yeah.
Are they required to not pass those costs on? I mean, this is a waiver that also goes for market rate housing. So what is the incentive for them to pass that savings on?
Well, they're going to pass the cost on regardless.
Yeah.
And I think it's just keeping people from building. So I think having this waive for a period of time, it sounds like the city council have the foresight to put a sundown date on this. Mm-hmm. So at least we can now have some data to look at it and see if it works, because basically what we're doing now is proven to not be working. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I think the slowing of building of apartment build of it is indicative of a failure. Yes.
Yeah. And then we'd also, there was talk, I don't know where they ever came on this, but the time it takes for permitting with BDS. You had a previous caller, and I think he pointed out an interesting, people get to use the vacant property to write off other, write it off as a loss so they can profit on other things. Mm-hmm. So we've incentivized leaving property vacant. Well, the BDS process and the time it takes to actually, from when you prepare a project to scratch the ground, can be 6+ months.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not incentivizing them to leave it vacant. We're forcing people to leave it vacant with this system. So I think they should address that as well.
Hmm. So you think a 6-month sort of a timeline to get approval is stopping people from even trying?
Yeah, I personally, as a property owner, just for a home, it to get a permit to repair a furnace, for example, was almost $1,000, and it took, which it was a $4,200 furnace, $1,000 in permitting fees for that, and it took over 110 days start to finish from when it was open till it was closed. Fortunately, they let you conduct the repair so you have heat in the home in the interim.
But okay, so you can actually install it.
Yeah, so it was actually done, but until the permit was pulled, they were paid and it was closed. About a quarter of a furnace cost in that particular case was, so I don't know. I think the system's significantly broken, and at this point, I think it's just worth a shot. What are your thoughts?
I'm glad you called in, and I think that's a really good perspective, and I hope that you're right. I hope that somehow, I mean, first of all, they would have to, I mean, that amount of money for infrastructure, I guess my question is if the amount numbers you quoted per unit is actually necessary to increase infrastructure for each new resident for the city, you know? And if it is, then where is that money going to come from exactly? And so that's what
it's interesting. I suppose every project is different, but building a single, you know, or a four unit apartment complex, I don't know what that actually adds. The sewer system's pretty antiquated. The water system, we pay a lot in water fees, so mm-hmm. I don't know what it physically takes to hook a pipe up.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Right. Maybe that would be a part of the conversation. We have to look more at those details. And although I imagine if we review the discussion by the city council, hopefully they may have reviewed those numbers more. I want to thank you for calling, and it's good to get, you know, your perspective. And I think we got a good range of callers looking at this issue. And it's a really important issue for Portlanders, I think. It's great to hear folks engaging in it. And maybe more people will engage in the process as it proceeds and review the, as you mentioned, review this change and see if it actually works to get some data on it. But certainly
following it up on the back end is going to be just as critical as passing it on the front end. Well, hey, have a wonderful day.
You too. Yeah, you too. Okay. Well, this is, we're at the end of the show now. I think this is Jacqueline Keeler hosting for Wednesday Talk Radio. And we've been discussing different policies the city is trying out, these waivers of fees for infrastructure to developers, and whether or not that is a good policy or not to increase the affordability of housing. So thank you so much.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 9 a.m.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM in the Portland area and all over the world at kbu.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communication Act of 1990.